not as gung-ho.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the greatest outdoor radio show in the state of Wisconsin, Raised in Wisco, on all 13 civic media stations throughout Wisconsin, Saturdays at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside... What is your name?
Hi, I'm Danielle Fairman. I'm your co-host.
Danielle Fairman, the co-host, carrying the lead.
Hello.
The last, 2 weeks ago, you and Mike Kretschmer, and you had a guest.
We crushed
with you.
It.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great show. I listened to it just the other day because you can listen to all Civic Media radio shows on the podcast on the Civic Media website. You can hear them in retro. I go back and listen to them just over and over. They get me
excited.
Sleep to them? They put me to sleep. They soothe my soul.
Aww.
Anya, do you believe that for a minute?
Yep. From you? Yeah, podcasts in general, I believe it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You get to hear my wonderful laughter over and over on repeat.
No, Danielle, you did an awesome job. And then, of course, last Saturday, we brought you the broadcast from the island of Dugi Otok in Croatia.
Dugi Hua?
Dugi Otok.
Dugi Otok.
Dugi Otok, as they say there. Oh, yeah. Dugi Otok. We went hunting in Dugi Otok. And I just got back. I got back, and you want to talk about crazy life. I get back from Croatia, and we're going to talk about Croatia. And we have 5 days before my daughter's wedding.
Yes.
That we're going to have in the backyard, the reception in the backyard. The wedding Saturday, my wife worked her ass off.
Of course.
I mean, she was up till 5:30 a.m. finishing flowers. She did all the flowers herself.
Oh, they had to be beautiful.
Oh, it was awesome. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. It was a picture perfect wedding. Super elegant. It was at the St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church.
That place is beautiful.
It's a cathedral, which means like at some point some patriarch visited it or something. I mean, there's some specifics to that. But it was absolutely stunning inside. The gold leaf and iconography and just beautiful. So congratulations to Ella Rose and Gabe Hanna.
Yes,
so my daughter's name is Ella Rose Hanna right now. I mean, come on.
It's like fairy tale.
Like Joel Clayfish, and she gets to turn in Clayfish for Hanna, Ella Rose Hanna, and she's in plays and does theater and does professional singing and stuff. And Gabe's just a great guy. So congratulations to them. Super excited about it. And you guys had Robin Kennedy and Aiden Kennedy.
Oh, they were wonderful.
I've never heard Aiden talk that much in my entire life.
Hey, you gotta have that vibe. I have that vibe with him. What can I tell you? He told the perfect turkey story.
I know. Waiting
for you to say it, to tell us the story of it, and perfectly he came right in. And
I'm not even
he said it better than you.
Well, you know, I was a little bit. He saw a turkey out there. He had a tom, like, cruising around on the outskirts. And you know how it was funny because I'm like, I'm listening and I'm going, okay, Danielle, now talk about how that is what happens. And then, boom, they pop up like 10 yards away or 15 yards away. And you did. You're like,
yes!
That's exactly what happens. Then all of a sudden they show up after they disappear. Because, Danielle?
Yes.
Brett Backus is in the studio with us. We're going to talk to him in a minute. I'm getting through. I haven't been here in person for 2 weeks. So I'm just getting the juices flowing here. Brett, let's see if Brett can get this. What kills turkeys the most? What's the thing that kills turkeys most?
I know.
Patience.
Yes! He got it!
I was going to say curiosity, but that might be cat. I'm not a good hunter.
Well, you know, that is
she
exactly.
She did the first dad joke, not you.
She did. Wow.
Graduated.
You know, and that is what the tact that I use when I hunt cats. I'm joking.
What?
I'm joking. I'm totally kidding. I don't hunt cats. Give me a break.
You already want to hunt cranes. What
Wait a minute. Well, I did hunt.
Oh, I
would love
I did
to hunt,
hunt a bobcat. Look. Okay. Ow. Anybody who likes proliferation of species and healthy species is supportive of conservation of that species, because if that species grows too large in population, you're going to be in trouble, because then disease starts. And cranes are at a state in Wisconsin where we have to start taking a look at their populations, because they are burgeoning and they're doing a lot of harm to our ecology here in our farm fields. In addition to that, we want to maintain a healthy crane population. Totally different topic for a different show. But the wedding went off without a hitch. It was stunningly beautiful.
You've had a year so far. Your youngest graduated high school.
Yep.
And
she's going to Baylor.
And now you got your oldest with a wedding.
And my oldest got married. And my little daughter, Violet, said to me when she went to bed the other night, she's like, say goodnight to your only Clayfish daughter. And I, oh my gosh.
Right to the soul.
That just broke my heart.
Good job, Violet. Good
I was
job.
A mess too. I got through my toast better than I thought. I cracked a couple times, but then when it came to the father-daughter dance and they played I Danced with Cinderella, that was our dance.
Oh,
I lost it.
That's, the whole Cinderella situation is totally her because that's how she got engaged.
I know. And the beauty of it is it was so subtle because at the wedding, they didn't do any theme or anything like that, but it literally felt like a scene out of Bridgerton or something, aww, their wedding. It was just beautiful without all the prurient stupid parts that Bridgerton has. Which, I mean, God, that is nothing more than a soap opera, by the way.
I love Bridgerton.
And you're like, well, how do you know? Because I watch it, obviously, which is also stupid. I can't believe I waste my time watching that crap. But I love those period shows. I really do.
I do too.
I just don't like how they constantly infuse prurient, unnecessary SEX parts. It drives me nuts. Not necessary. And the time period.
I thoroughly enjoy that show.
Why does that not? That doesn't surprise me.
And since that ended, I started watching Vikings. So, you know.
Oh, Vikings is. I like Vikings. The better show of that, though, is the one. I forget the name of it, but it's literally.
The Last Kingdom.
Yes. That's an awesome show.
I was going to choose between that one and
Vikings.
Well,
the Last Kingdom's actually really historic, very historically accurate as far as they can be with the origination of the Vikings and how they came to England, and they fought with the English at the time, and it was King Alfred at the time, who was one of the very earliest Christian kings, and they fought with the Vikings, but they tried to broker deals too. So there's literally colonies in Great Britain that have like Viking settlements and have people who have Netherlands, you know, in their heritage who live in England. It's a really cool story. The Last Kingdom's great. I highly recommend it. Last Kingdom's even better than Vikings.
I shall watch that too.
Yeah, you got to watch it. So I'm in Croatia.
Dun, dun, dun. Where in the world is Joe Clayfish?
Well, we are going, you're going to have another week to fly solo, and I'm going to record another show in Austria in August. Austria. August is
Austria. Did you plan that on purpose?
August, Austria? No. It's Becky and my 25th anniversary.
Aww.
25th wedding anniversary. I mean, you want to talk about beating the odds these days. I feel pretty good about that. 25 years. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
I'm going on 5 months.
But wait, you're not even married.
Not even, you know.
You mean dating for
dating
5 months.
Dating anniversary.
Dataversary.
Dataversary.
Yeah, you're in that like new and shiny phase. There's no doubt about it. How's things going with the old Josh Meister?
Wonderful. So good.
Good. Okay, well, we'll see how that all holds up during hunting season.
He wants to go with.
Well, no, listen, I have talked to people about this, and the tact I take about hunting, I have hunting buddies. Men and women hunting buddies. I mean, it's the women diehard hunters I know are growing in numbers faster than the men are. You know, you, Kara, Alex, you know, so these are people who are becoming diehard hunters. But a real question in the success of a relationship is, do you want that person to be as diehard hunter as you are? And because some of my buddies will say, oh my gosh, I wish he didn't want to hunt as much as I do, or she didn't want to hunt as much as I do, because then you don't ever get that thing you do differently from them, or that, you know, break or that time away, because relationships need time to breathe. I mean, not a 5 months. 5 months, it's still all shiny and everything. But do you want that, or are you better off with somebody who never hunts with you, you know? And I think the happiness is somewhere in the middle, but Josh talked about that?
Yeah, we have talked about it. We have kind of different goals and different outlooks for hunting because he's more of a predator and whitetail hunter.
I'm
more of a waterfowl, small game type of hunter and fishing.
And Backus, who's in the studio with us, I like to call him the...
what is that?
I'm making it up right now. It's
very exciting.
Something of the north. Like, I mean, he's this towering dude who's like 7'12", and he is an awesome goose hunter. So my truest passion in waterfowl is goose hunting. I mean, it really is. And Brett has got a handle on the Sheboygan Plymouth area. He's got lanyards, more than one lanyard full of bands. It doesn't even have room on his lanyard for more bands. This guy is the king of kings when it comes to that area of goose hunting. And I'm so excited that I've been trying to get him on the show for quite a while now, and he finally is here with us in the studio. Backus, have you ever had a girlfriend during hunting season?
I've had a couple during high school and college eras, but the level of patience wasn't quite there to hold on to it through the whole season.
You mean patience on their part or your part?
Their part. I definitely feel like I'm overall a pretty patient person on many aspects too, but I kind of disappear for 4 or 5 months a year and they weren't feeling that at sometimes.
Would you rather them come with you and join you on?
Yeah. So what's your take on
75% of the hunts? We're not saying all. We're 75
is a little strong. I'd say 50, I'd say 50-50. I mean, they got to support their own hobbies too. But
They need to have their own life.
I think there's only so much you can talk about without seeing it for yourself first person to fully understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, hunting is just a lot more than just going out and chasing animals for me. It's kind of a slowdown period in my life.
So if you had to, the next girlfriend, she didn't hunt at all, would you bring her out there in the field and teach her how to do it and make her fall in love with it? Or
I definitely start with waterfowl hunting too. I mean, you can be a little more impatient, a little bit more louder, move around a little bit, have fun while you're out there. I think the ultimate hunting is hunting your predators, big game animals, deer, elk, the list goes on for that. But I think waterfowl hunting is kind of like one of the best things to introduce people into the sport.
Wow. You know, we got to start heading into break already. But I think, the more I listen to this guy, I think what an eligible young man he is.
Ladies,
if you're out there listening, Brett Backus is willing to take you out into the field and give you a shot at goose hunting. Brett and I are, and I mean, Danielle, to some extent, too, and I don't mean an insult by this in any way. We are those guys who live, eat, and breathe goose hunting during the season. I mean, we're the ones scouting every day.
Yeah,
we're the ones knocking on every door, doing every spare moment on the way to or from work to find the geese to get on them. I mean, it is an intense endeavor, and you got to have a mate who is supportive of that, because if you don't, you'll take away our passion, and that's really important too. When we come back on Raised in Wisco, we're going to talk with Brett about the upcoming season. Danielle, I'm going to hear the highlights of her turkey hunt. We're going to talk more about Croatia. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Next thing you know, they're all grown up, and then you're hunting by yourself again. Melody, and as time goes by, it's funny.
Welcome back to the greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin, the greatest outdoor radio show. I have to qualify it as outdoor radio show because we've got a lot of really great shows on the Civic Media Network throughout Wisconsin, 13 stations. No matter where you are in the state of Wisconsin, you can listen to Raised in Wisco Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And we've had such a run of really exciting shows. We were from Croatia last week. Danielle had Robin Kennedy, one of our five loyal listeners, in here. And this week we got Brett Backus, one of the stars, one of the celebrities, one of the biggest goose hunters, literally and figuratively. He stands at 7'12".
Wait. No. You're tall.
Did you just figure out, Danielle's doing the math in her head. She's like, that's really 8 feet. Maybe she didn't come up with that.
I'm posting on our social media page. I'm sorry.
Oh, so
I was occupied.
I apologize. We're doing a show over here. Sorry you were posting on social media. Anya's shaking her head back there. That's all.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, man. My little Italian mom used to pull that out.
Where is mom?
I don't know. That is weird. That is strange. My mom's not in the studio today. Huh. Checking things out. I'm going to call her after, and she'll be like, I thought today was Monday.
Yeah,
she'll
say that. She came to see me and Robin and Mike.
I saw the pictures.
And Aiden.
And that was great. And that story. So let's talk about Aiden. Went on his first solo hunt. He went and got his hunter safety, and he got it with Violet. So Violet took it together, and Violet never completed it because she was underage, needed the field course. And then she ended up having something for Baylor on the field course day, so she couldn't go. But then she turned 18 Even though she had turned 18, she still needed the field course because she started it before she was 18. So then she just took the whole class again.
Yeah.
And for Father's Day, gave me the gift of having her hunter's safety.
That's wonderful.
So now she can solo hunt, which is awesome. And Aiden, I set him out. I was busy. He had a tag. He could only hunt one day. I set him out to hunt. And he was out there and a storm was rolling in. Yep. And he calls me. He's like, well, there's a storm. And I'm like, okay. I mean, we hunt in storms a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and he's like, and I'm like, why are you seeing anything? He's like, well, there's a Tom out there. I'm like, don't go anywhere.
Stay still.
Hey. And he did. I mean, to his credit, he stayed. But then he did end up bugging out. And I don't even know if it did end up getting stormy or not, but there was a wall cloud coming and I feel bad because I can't imagine him like walking the half mile back carrying all the stuff.
All of the stuff. Yeah, he gave a good story. He took us step by step and how it was.
Yeah.
And texting you because it was on radio show day.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Witnessed this call happen, I should say. And Joel took that call in the lobby like he was talking a man down. That's all. He was going like, shh, you're going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Wait the storm out. It was intense, guys.
Oh, well, see, now you know what we put into hunting.
Truly.
Brett Backus in the studio with us. How tall actually are you?
6'11".
You are 6'11". So if someone would
somewhat
say like
close.
6'11", you're like 7 feet tall. But I'm going to tell you something. This dude is like one of the most have it together, like gentle souls you could ever meet.
Aww.
So hunting with him like can be stressful when you're setting up big decoy spreads. You're hunting the first day of the season. You know, we've got the fowl life coming into town this fall, and Brett's going to host a hunt for us up there. And,
nice.
But he doesn't crack under pressure. You
know, that's a rare skill.
That is such a rare skill, especially when it comes to like doing TV and, you know, with hunting, because it's a whole different ballgame hiding those cameras and making sure that the, you know, the geese are still going to finish when you got cameras. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about that, Brett?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm used to a hunting group of 10, 12, 14, 16 guys a lot of times too, and start mixing in groups of clients also. So a couple of cameras doesn't scare me one bit.
Clients. So you have your own outfitter or what you have your own?
So 4 years ago, I opened Boggs Wisconsin LLC, which is my hunting group, which I started with just waterfowl that first season. Then after that, I started spring turkey season two. So
ooh.
I had a pretty pretty busy 6 weeks for turkey season this year, to say the least.
Good for you. How successful was it for turkey season?
We went 24 for 25. So,
oh, hot dog. Look at you go.
It's kind of a bad year for me, to be honest. But
oh, just kidding. My bad.
A bad year.
Sorry.
Such a bad year. Okay, now you're just whining, dude. Give me a break. Oh, it was a bad year. We only killed 24.
I had 29 the year before that and 36 the year before that.
36?
Wow.
That dog. That'd be nice.
I thought I was doing great with 8. I had 8, but it was just me and I had to squeeze it in this year. I took 8 people and everybody got turkeys, which is awesome. And I got the 2 myself. And my second hunt was very exciting because it was similar to our hunt, Danielle.
Beautiful, perfect.
I didn't get out I couldn't get out in the morning. I went to work, came back, drove around, found a couple toms in a field and literally belly crawled through grass that was over my head, which turned out to be, I thought it would really be horrible, but it turned out to be my advantage because mm-hmm. the turkeys couldn't see, the grass was over my head. And so I was kind of like squatting, crawling in and the grass was still over my head. And I just held the fan up above the grass.
Oh, perfect.
And those suckers like ran over. And then all of a sudden, 3 of them were literally 10 feet in front of me staring at the fan. And I had both hands on the fan and I thought, how do I drop this fan and pick my gun up now? So it was like a standoff. They were standing looking at me and I had the fan above the grass and I was looking at them through the grass and I was frozen and the gun was sitting, you know, on the ground next to me.
Yeah.
So what I did was slowly, like painstakingly slowly, brought the fan down into the grass and all of them just kept raising their heads up higher and higher to see
where it was going.
And then I grabbed the gun and brought it up real slowly. And they all still had their heads like perched, like what is going on? And so I pulled out the gun. I waited for 2 of them to move out of the way and I was able to shoot one. And it was an awesome, super exciting hunt. So if someone like when people have those debates, you know, and we have them on Snapchat and all the rest of over, oh, it's, you know, what do they call it? when you're chasing the turkeys with a fan.
Reaping.
Reaping. Yeah. Reaping. Should you be able to do that? Sitting. I enjoy sitting the most, but run and gun. I mean, combination. We did everything this year. I mean, the hunt you and I had, that was kind of run and gun or, you know, stalking, if you want to call it that, with a fan. It wasn't really reaping. You're not going out into the middle of a field, you know, behind a, yeah, my days, look, I'm 50. I just turned 53 since the last time I've been here in the studio. So
all aged since the last time we were in the studio. My birthday was yesterday.
That's true. And you know, do you know why time seems to go so fast as you get older?
Why?
This is fascinating to me, but it's true. Because every moment in time is a smaller portion of your total life.
Oh.
So every year or day you get older, every moment is a smaller portion of the life you've lived. So it goes faster and faster.
It's really sad.
Yeah, sad or exciting. I mean, the boring stuff doesn't last as long, right?
Yep.
No offense to boring people, but like when I'm talking to boring people, I'm just wishing the conversation's over. So the boring stuff doesn't last as long. The only problem is the exciting stuff goes really fast.
It goes really fast, yeah.
So we had an awesome hunt. Back as... Golly, gosh, this show goes fast. We're already hitting up against the second break.
Jeez.
Backus, we're going to come back and talk to you. I want to know what you did initially, because you're a young man still, and you've got permission on so many fields. I want to come back and talk to you about some of your tricks of the trade to get, you know, to have the permissions you do and how you maintain them and how much work that really is. We'll be back on Raised in Wisco on your civic media stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. Make sure to listen Saturdays at 11 a.m. Tune in to Civic Media for all your news, weather, and sports. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. Never question why. I just keep on singing these melodies as time goes by. It's funny how time.
Mama, I found someone like you said.
You're listening to Civic Media and Raised in Wisco, the greatest outdoor radio show in the state, throughout the state, 13 stations statewide, your civic media station, Raised in Wisco. Check us out on, this is where I go to Danielle because I don't remember all the things, Facebook, Spotify, the civic media website, go ahead.
And on X, don't forget about X, which is the old
is
Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
That's so,
yeah.
Whatever.
I don't even have Twitter, but yes.
Twitter.
But on Instagram because, oh, no, sorry, not Instagram,
so
Facebook.
Do you still tweet on X?
I don't know. I don't do that.
Technically, you jeet.
Jeet? No, you do not.
Well,
just
not
as long
Twitter.
As you don't jeet your pants. Oh, there's a dad joke. Can I even say that one?
I have to check. I'm gonna have to check that one. I genuinely don't know. It might
be. I feel like it's all right.
Holy,
it's Father's Day week, and you gotta let it.
Yeah,
slide.
Right.
Holy jeet.
Get it out.
So
get
is,
it up.
So is can you not imply the word that's banned?
I genuinely
banned?
Don't know. I'm listening to it now, and I'm like, I don't know. We're going to have to put this
but we
in
were just
some
talking
better
about,
ears than mine.
We were just talking about X. So I
that's
feel
right.
like feel
and
like
you,
it correlates.
You jeet?
We're just like jeeting on the web, that's all.
That's
so.
Jeeting on the web.
Wow.
Where it's meant to be done.
Wow.
I jeet.
Does a man jeet on the web? I don't know.
I jeet at work. I jeet in my free time. I jeet in my drawers.
All right,
I mean...
All right.
I really hope this gets played so hard.
It's going to be played. Come on. It's sheeting. We're sheeting all over the place.
This is fantastic.
I'm sweating. I'm literally sweating. I'm laughing so hard. Okay. Check us out on X, on Spotify, Facebook. Danielle is losing her sheet.
Why? Why is this funny? Okay.
Backus, you came
collect,
to the show. Look what's
collect.
Happening. All right, where else can you listen to the show? She's
yes,
lost.
Yes, we said all of it already.
All right. So Backus owns his own outfitting. He outfits turkeys and ducks and geese. And this past year, you had 25 clients and you had 24 turkeys. What do you say to the poor guy or woman, man or woman who did not get a turkey? I mean, how did that even happen?
It was a gentleman. He was supposed to have 4 days with me, and Mother's Day cut that short for him.
Mother's Day? Aw, should have just brought the mom out.
Well, that is somewhat understandable.
Yeah, I had his wife out for a period. She was the first bird of the season, so that was very successful for her end. That was her first bird ever. She was very, very excited. It was a very interesting hunt. We had the birds really, really close. We had three birds up to about 10, 12 yards. She missed that shot or gun jammed. And somehow got the golden BB rule at just under 80 yards. We actually paced it out and took the measurement. It was 78 yards.
Holy
that was her first
cow.
Bird.
That was her first bird.
Ooh, get it, girl. That's awesome.
So how on earth are you scouting 25 turkeys? I mean, that's insane. I mean, if I'm running a rafter of turkeys in six places, that's a lot to scout.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to put them to bed and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, 100% agree with that. So I have about 10, 11 properties that I hunt on. This year, I only had to take birds off four different properties. And it's just all comes down to access that you have. I mean, especially with private landowners, it's just building that relationship and holding on to it for the long term. But I was dealing with a lot of flocks that were 40, 60, 80 birds strong this year. So.
Holy cow.
It was a different ball game for sure, but we had the numbers, we had the opportunities, and we were putting birds down.
Well, I would highly recommend that if you have never gotten a turkey, if you're looking to have an experience like that. I didn't even know you did that. I did not even know that you guided turkeys, and I did not know you guided them in that numbers.
This is not your full-time job either. This is your side hustle,
yeah,
correct?
No, not at all. I do sales for a living, 9 to 5, and just do that on the side just to keep me honest so you don't have to... constantly dry for it. I just feel like if some people that do it full time are making their money, so they have to go there even if the conditions aren't right. And I just never want to be in that position. So I just kind of do it as a side gig and keep it fun and interesting, just because a lot of times if you do have 1, 2, or 3 tags to yourself for the year, you only can be in the woods for 2 or 3 hours total. So,
part of these 24, were any of them yours?
The 24 birds, yep, I had 2 birds myself, and then I had 6 buddies, so I had 16 of the 17 clients this year, which was a light year for me, but I was out of town for 2 of the weeks.
Oh, yeah.
For the 9-to-5 job, so.
What do you do with the turkeys? What's your favorite way to make them?
I had a buddy, Cody, from Plymouth, teach me a recipe. It's kind of a breakfast thing, so.
Oh, you ready?
I've never been a poultry for breakfast guy, so
I'm ready.
Like when people do the Chick-fil-A breakfast biscuit.
Absolutely.
I'm not a poultry, but I want to hear it.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's interesting. So you cut it into 1-inch cubes, a little bit of cinnamon, cayenne pepper,
cinnamon?
A little bit of maple syrup and honey as a binding agent.
What?
And then you kind of just smoke it on the smoker until it's kind of cubed up and dried out and to the room temperature.
Okay,
you need to.
Say this again. So you got your cinnamon, your cayenne, your pepper. What else?
What do you got to go to honey. For that 145 degrees in the middle?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's important to know.
You got me at cinnamon. I love
now,
cinnamon.
You do not need to worry about wild turkey with salmonella like you do with store purchased chicken. So, but you still got to cook it to about 135 in the middle for other reasons. But all right, so continue.
Yeah, so just maple syrup, honey is a binding agent, mm-hmm. and then you have your cinnamon, brown sugar, and cayenne pepper. So you get that sweetness and heat, and it goes really good with morning eggs and toast.
Sounds fantastic.
Wow. I tell everybody at the end of the day, this is always a cooking show.
Yep.
I'm telling you, and I'm gonna try that. I'm really gonna try that.
You
I
always
love,
have breakfast for dinner too.
Well, yeah, and I like that. I mean, I'm definitely a breakfast for dinner guy, and I think eggs go with absolutely everything. That's the best thing about a chicken is the egg, and in my opinion, otherwise I'd rather eat the wild game. And turkey is actually incredibly versatile. People don't realize it's very accepting of any fat you put around it. So if you wrap it in bacon, it's going to absorb that into the meat on the smoker, which is a fantastic way to eat turkey is smoke it. You know, I use the Instant Pot or pressure cooker, and then I'll shred it and have the stock absorb back into it. And you can make the basis for pot pies, add some cumin, and you got tacos. Shred it with a little bit of oregano in it, and you've got a base for lasagna. Or, I mean, I've had alligator lasagna, wild turkey lasagna, you name it. You can throw it in with lasagna because the good sugo is what really matters, and that's Italian for sauce. But that sounds good.
Yeah,
so
it does.
When you talk about one thing that I try to impress you know, on the listeners is that 90% of hunting is scouting. Scouting, relationships with the farmers, land permission acquisitions, public land knowledge, that's 90% of hunting. The actual day you go out, that's the hopeful harvest day. Hunting takes place way before that in so many other ways. And whenever I meet somebody who says, well, I'm just not a good hunter. I'm just not a successful hunter. I never am able to kill anything. And I would say that almost every case of that is because they're not doing anything ahead of time. Do you agree with that? And what do you think the keys are to making sure that you've got a good place to hunt so that when it comes time to execute, you're not wasting your time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one important thing to hunting is windshield time. Nothing will beat scouting. You have to get the miles on the vehicle. You got to get out there and look for them, and then it's a patient game. I mean, a lot of times, too, you'll have a weather forecast come in, and then the birds are sitting on the water longer than you're expecting to, and you got to be flexible with that so you can find out where they're going that day. But, yeah, I mean, in a given year, I'm probably putting on 28 to 32,000 miles of scouting. So.
Yep.
Now,
okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this question, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. My biggest part.
Okay, we don't, wait a minute, know, back up. What, we don't preface it with that. What? This is live. This is radio.
What?
You just ask it.
Okay. How do you start the conversation with when you knock on the door, they answer it? Like, what's your first two sentences? Because this is where I.
This is great radio. We want his secrets, Danielle. You can't say no right now.
I can't. This is why I get flustered. I don't want to look at them in the eye, which they can sense that. What's your first two? Like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm Brett.
What up, G?
So usually it's the first and last name introduction of who I am. Kind of if you're in the local area, just be like, hey, you know.
But what if you're not? That's where I feel bad then.
Well, that gets a little interesting, but I mean, it's just kind of a self. You want to do a full name introduction and say, hey, I'd be interested in accessing your property, even if it was just for the day tomorrow or this coming Saturday. How do you feel about hunting, especially waterfowl geese? A lot of times, especially farmers, they really don't have a need for geese in their field.
Yep.
They're usually causing more damage than visual scenes, but it's just kind of a warm up there too. And sometimes it's just having an agriculture background too. I think a lot of times just talking to them and be like, you know, what's this rain looking like for you guys right now? Or how are the crops doing right now? And just kind of get them in their terms of talking on subjects that they like to do. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of figuring out the situation it is, or being apologetic if you're there at lunch or dinner time too. I mean, there's a lot of people that just wouldn't apologize for a situation like that. Like, hey, I'm sorry to pull you away from dinner right now. Can I get 2 minutes of your time to discuss this?
And that's when it is for me, because after work, I feel more comfortable showing up in my work attire than street clothes.
100%. Don't ever worry about that. In fact,
because then that strikes the conversation with them. Oh, what do you do? Because I wear high viz. So they're like, oh, what do you do? Like, oh, hi, I'm a heavy equipment operator. And then we start talking about that.
Yeah.
But just knocking on the door, and they get, when it's 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm like, I'm sorry.
But
I was driving past it. I just got done with work.
Yeah, but that's the conundrum we all have, because we work during the day.
Yeah.
And then what is the rest of the time that it's light out? They're either eating dinner or going to bed, and you don't want to show up at someone's house after dark, period.
Absolutely.
That's a
not.
Number one rule, because that's creepy, right? So you really have no choice but to knock at that time. I mean, Brett and my method are virtually the same. I always, hi, my name's Joel Clayfish. I extend a hand if they look like they'd like to shake my hand. If they don't, if they're behind a closed door, I won't do that. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I say is something that is relatable to them. If they're in the area where I live, I'll say, I live on such and such drive, which is right down the road for you. Or I say, I'm your neighbor on this drive, or I'm your neighbor in Sullivan. And if you start getting further away, I will still almost always say, hi, my name is Joel Clayfish. I live in Sullivan right down the road. Because usually, I mean, you're not going to drive an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be scouting an hour and a half away. Sometimes, yes, but very rarely. Because that gives them a little, just a hair of an insight into you and your personality. And it takes away the creepy factor. Because somebody who's doing something sly is not going to be telling you where they live, essentially. Yep. So creating that initial rapport, I think, for Brett, having an agriculture background is huge.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
And I also think something that's really important to me and to farmers is sincerity. Be sincere. Don't just show up the day before hunting season and say, I just want to kill some stuff. Because the general rule is most farmers hate all animals except the ones they own. Because the rest of those animals are eating their crops, mm-hmm. right? So, but I will also say, not only do you end up having these true friendships, if you're willing to invest a little bit in it, you end up meeting the coolest people in Wisconsin, which farmers are in that category.
With my properties, the way I have got all my properties is just, I was talking to them just normally on a side or something, and then I brought it up. Like, I don't go to their actual house and knock on their door because I get scared. So I just see them at the bar, or I bring their dog home. Weirdest story. I got property because their dogs ran across the road and my dog got hit by a car. Mm-hmm. So like I try to follow the dogs and I go knock on neighbors' houses. I'm like, hey, do you have a dog like this? Because it's running across the busy road. That's how I got my last property. So it was kind of perfect. But... It was just weird. Because I get scared.
Saving lives and getting permissions. Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
That's absolutely the key. And developing those relationships and keeping those relationships is not easy because mm-hmm. if you're just showing up at the farm when you're hunting, then the farmer, in many cases will think, well, all they care about is hunting my property. They don't care about, me or my welfare. And, some guys just want you to show. Some farmers just want you to show up just to kill the stuff that's on their property because they want you to because they're eating, their crops in droves. And big turkey rafters, which is what you call a group of turkeys, a rafter, they are guilty of eating a lot of crops. When we come back on Raised in Wisco, I'm going to tell you a permission story. That's crazy. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Mama, he's crazy.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Woo.
And Brett Backus, one of the most solid dudes and hunters I know, who been trying to get into the studio here for weeks, probably months, actually.
Months.
Months.
But he's been too busy for us, Danielle.
I think we've been going on for 2 years now.
No,
this radio show?
Yeah. We're on two
Look
years.
Look at us grow.
Isn't that crazy? Growing throughout the state of Wisconsin on all your civic media stations. Check us out on the internet, too, on Spotify, Facebook, X, and other sources.
YouTube. We forgot YouTube last time.
All right. YouTube. We went into the break talking about getting permissions and the tough parts about it. And one of the keys, and one of the keys, in my opinion, is sincerity. So I have to tell you this story of permission that I got on a field. I noticed geese hitting this field every day, and it was about 5 minutes from my house, and it really couldn't have been a more perfect scenario to try to hunt, And so I stopped at the farmer's door, and I said, hi, my name's Joel Clayfish. I live right down the road from you. I'm wondering if I can hunt those geese in your backfield. And the farmer says, I used to have, and you guys chip in if you've had these same conversations, because I feel like this is happening and we need to address it with other hunters. But he said, I used to let people hunt, but they left junk in my field. They tore my field up and drove on it when I asked them not to. And it's just easier for me to say no. And I said, oh man, I'm really, really sorry to hear that. And I said, look, I'm going to bring you a wild goose pot pie tomorrow. And I want you to try it. And then I'm going to promise you that I will not leave anything in your field. And I live right down the road from you. I'm a neighbor, and I'm going to promise you I won't. And I'll just, please, will you give me a chance to think about it and maybe give me another shot? And this was probably now 10 years ago. So go back the next day with a pot pie. I talked to him again, and he says, all right, look, I'm going to let you. And he's a hunting family. So hunting farmers are the toughest ones to get permission mm-hmm. on because their yep. families hunt. So they want to hunt, that property. And he says, all right, here's the deal. You can hunt, but only you and no one else. So that, during a goose hunt, that's three geese, and away you go. So So I'm hunting there, and I start bringing them pot pies like every month. I'm bringing them a pot pie and saying, this is from your field. This I killed this in your backyard. And he says, all right, you know what? You can bring another buddy with you. That's fine. You just, the two of you. Well, now I've been hunting there 10 years, and now he lets me bring as many people as I want because he knows I'm not going to leave a mess behind.
Yep.
But that's not the fascinating part of the story. So about 3 years ago, his wife comes out, and she's got a picture with her, and she shows me the picture, and she says, does anyone in this picture look familiar to you? I look at the picture, and I said, oh, my gosh, that guy looks like my grandpa. And she said, I think it is. She was searching for her biological parents and doing research about her husband's ancestry. Come to find out, her husband's grandma is sisters with my grandpa. What the heck, Anya? That's crazy.
That shouldn't work out like that. That's some incredible human geography right there.
So I end up being like the farmer's literal first cousin once removed.
That's awesome.
Like literally. So now.
Small world.
Now we're inviting each other to like holidays and I hunt on this property of.
And your
I
neighbors. Would say
it's the cousins. The cousins. Yeah. We literally have. We are literally blood relatives to this. To these farmers.
Neat.
And that's the kind of cool stuff that can happen when you're out there, you know, when you develop relationships. And so now, I mean, and then the wife, she ended up finding her biological parents, which is an incredible moving story. She got to see, visit with her dad and just turned out really cool. But, you know, before we were talking about that, Brett was talking about how all the different ways that he has permissions. I still think that most people find it amazing that you have as many permissions as you do and you're able to maintain them all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just keeping in contact. It's being accessible. I have a lot of farmers that have my personal phone number, so if they need to call me, if they have issues, if they let other hunters on there, slowly but surely there's other hunters showing up more and more in the area, and they're having more and more issues with those hunters. So if it's going out there and cleaning up the mess that another hunter left behind,
just
because.
So that does happen quite often then, doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah,
very
it drives
much so.
Me nuts.
I mean, that story that Joel said that like, hey, I used to have people on this property all the time and someone ruined it for me. I've heard that from every other farmer that I've asked for new. It goes down to just being like, hey, you know, you've experienced the bad of the modern day hunter. Can I show you the good? So that usually works out pretty well. I don't ask for permission for the whole season after that, but I will ask permission for that one day and just give me that test trial and I'll prove the positive aspect of it.
Well, you said you had spring season for booking clients. So obviously not fall because that's goose season.
Correct.
Because you just annihilate the geese then, hey?
Yeah, I mean, mix the...
Then it's just goose. Just
yeah,
goose
he's a good goose catcher, no doubt about it. We have a little bit of friendly competitions with goose numbers, and we harvest a lot of geese. And that's my family's favorite thing to eat. So I would say 4 out of 5 days of the goose hunting season, the goose never sees the freezer at my house. Those 3 geese I get go right into the crock pot, and then they're making dinner for my family, and then whatever is, if there's leftover from that, I'm making pot pies for farmers.
I'm so hungry.
I know. I'm not even hungry, but I'm making myself hungry. Do you think that this upcoming season's going to be good? So far, we've got a lot of rain this spring. Now, if that holds through the summer, we'll be in good shape. Last year was tough.
Yeah, last year was definitely tough. It was the worst season I had in 10 years, and we still managed to just get over 700 birds, just geese alone. So it was a decent year, but yeah, it was dry. So this is going to be a different year being so wet.
Yeah. Wet years are much better. Am I going to get a band with you finally? Do you think?
Is I that sure a goal? Hope so.
Let's figure that. Let's get that all set. Okay. Cause I'm, you know, people talk about, chasing bands on geese, and I've literally seen shoving matches start over bands
in a field.
So for those of you who may not have heard of this, there's a banding program in Wisconsin. They put a little silver colored metal band around the legs of geese. And so that when they are harvested, you call that band in and they can study the flight patterns of the geese. It's really a really cool thing because you get to find out where it's from and everything like that.
Do we know how many, what's the percentage of geese that they banned?
Boy, that's a great question, but it's very small.
I thought I saw a report that it was like 3.2%.
3.2?
Really?
Yep.
Holy cow, what an awesome show this has been. Great way to be back in the studio. Thanks,
Anya. How can
people
get a hold of you?
Real quick.
So Boggs, Wisconsin, LLC, or they can just
Boggs,
call them.
Boggs,
B-O-G-S-W-I.
Boggs, Wisconsin, LLC. Go hunting with Brett. We're going to see you next week on Raised in Wisco for Danielle Fairman, Brett Backus. I'm Joel Clayfish, the greatest outdoor radio show in the state. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.